Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
0-2 pitch. On the ground to Mydra. He will make the throw over. And in his first big league appearance, Grant Taylor sets down the Astros in order.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. It's always fun to talk to Scott Merk, and he's down in Houston covering the White Sox for MLB.com. He, of course, the smart or the handsome Merkin brother, and he joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Scott, how are you, buddy?
Good, smart or handsome, but never the tallest, Merkin. That will never be my moniker, unfortunately. Although that's not a really great honor, though. I think my nephew is to get the highest one on that one. But it's a good thing, you know, Dakin Park is a beautiful ballpark. I've always loved coming here, but being very thankful today that there's a roof on the place because it is pouring rain here in Houston right now.
Wow.
Doesn't bode well for things later, maybe. But last night was a long one for the Sox. But overall, Merk, over the last 10 days or so, this has been a team that's been very competitive. Heading into last night, I think they were 5-5 in their last 10 games, playing at a higher level. How much of it is hope kind of manifesting itself and just giving them something to play for? How much of it is got a lot of guys hungry to make an impression?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of everything. You know, I think that, let's be honest, at the beginning of the year, nothing against the guys who were here, they didn't have the guys they envisioned. Across the board, there were some prospects who weren't ready. There were some veterans who were injured. You know, Mike Tauchman,
yep,
and Josh Rojas come to mind. You know, Josh Rojas did a really nice job stabilizing the infield defensively. And, you know, I think you're right. The Edgar Caro told me this as far back as, I want to say, January, that, you know, he thought the younger guys coming up would provide a little hunger. Now, again, I laugh when I asked this question the other day of, I think, maybe Tim Elko. Doesn't mean the older guys aren't hungry too, but you know how it is. You know, the young guys come up, they get their first chance. There's that extra energy. You know, they see what the future can be, and they provide that little boost. And I think that's what happened with the team. But I really do think the vision that, you know, starting with Chris Getz down to Will Venable and his staff that they've set forth in the offseason has kind of started to play out a little bit. And this is what you're supposed to see at this point of the year, the rebuild. You're seeing a lot of, you know, veterans help out, some that, you know, might get moved by July 31st. And then you're starting to see the young guys really kind of filter in, and guys who, you know, very well could have a hand. And next time this team is really competitive.
It was interesting because Luis Robert Jr. had a really good game 2 games ago and not so much yesterday. But where is he at? Did the little pause help him? Did it aid him? Was it not long enough? What will happen with him eventually? Will someone actually trade for him? Will they have to figure out a different way of handling this? What is your take on what's going on with Louis Robert?
I mean, I think I can say this flat out, and I think, you know, Luis would probably say this too, and then I believe he'll be traded by the deadline. You know, I don't think the Sox are going to pick up a $20 million option on him next year, and they're not just going to let him go. So I think that
right.
they will, you know, they will move him by the trade deadline. You know, I mean, we know how good a player he is. Now, again, you know, 2023, I've said this ad nauseum, he probably had one of the most complete seasons in White Sox history if you look at the numbers across the board, which ironically, he didn't start very well in that season either. He had a very rough March, April, and then got going after that. Now, maybe he's not going to put those numbers up every year across the board, just dominant in every category. But even when he's not hitting, you see the other day, you know, not the other day, it was just Tuesday, when he made a diving catch in center to probably save Houston from tying the game in the, I believe it was the eighth inning. And he's got 21 stolen bases. So, I mean, he really is a five-tool talent. It's not just a description you use to fill out a story sometimes, you know. I mean, the problem is one of those or a couple of those is he's not hitting. You know, he's just not, he has not hit the last couple of years. He did, you know, he does hit very well in Houston. I don't know if Houston needs him or has the prospects to deal that Chris Getz and the White Sox want, but he crushes it there, and he kind of laughed after the game on Tuesday and said he's not sure why, but it's just, you know, the way it works out. But I do believe he'll be traded. It's just a question of what can they get in return, and, you know, what do they want in return, and what will happen, you know, when the move finally comes.
You're around there as much as anybody. I'm just curious. We don't really know him that well, but what we have heard from him, or at least attributed to him in recent weeks or the last couple of times, does he lack confidence? Do you think he's a guy that goes up and down based on how much he's believing in his swing and himself? Because, you know, whether it's questioning what he would be worth in the trade market or taking suggestions for what's wrong with his swing, this is not a guy that speaks with a lot of authority.
I think I would look at that as more, you know, honesty on his part. I think, you know, any of us in any profession, I don't know if you can equate it to baseball, but if you, you know, have, you know, 10 straight broadcasts where you're not happy with it, well, your confidence will still be there, but it might get nailed a little bit, right? You might think like, okay, what's going on? Why am I not doing a better job? And I will tell you this, he's an extraordinarily hard worker, and that's just not from my observations, from, you know, talking to people, from coaches, to teammates, to front office over the year, and really opposition too, over the 6 years he's been with the White Sox. He's a low-key guy. He's not like a guy who's going to, yeah, I mean, at least around us. I have heard he's, you know, he's a more of a talker around the players and a little funnier around the players, but I know he was outstanding when I talked to him probably two or three times one-on-one during spring training, and just has a really good perspective on what's going on. But yeah, I think if you go through what he's gone through the last 2 years, you know, between the injury that cost him, what, two-thirds last year, a half of last year, and then the struggles when he came back, and then the continued offensive struggles, I don't think it's a lack of confidence. I think it's more of an addition of frustration. And I think he was honest. I asked him that question about, you know, do you still think about being traded? And he was honest in saying, well, what I'm doing right now, I may not have a high value. So maybe not what Chris Getz wanted to hear as a player say who he's trying to move. Not trying to move. Who would be, you know, fit into being moved in the scheme of the rebuild and everything else. But he was, you know, just being straightforward with the question.
I thought it was super cool to see Grant Taylor come up and perform the way he did. Just 12 pitches, half of them over 100 miles an hour, 101.5 on the first pitch he threw. It was exactly what they've been talking about, the electric arm, all that stuff. And I thought they did a great job of getting him in against the 7, 8, 9 hitters, you know, just kind of easing him in to his role, whatever that might end up being. He looks like a guy that will wind up as the closer moving forward. I don't know if that's this year or just eventually. But tell us a little bit about him. And, you know, I know they've kept open the possibility that they could move him into a starting role, but it doesn't really seem like that's feasible. It seems like he's going to be a reliever, probably a closer.
Yeah, for those who believe he should be a starter and are kind of unmoved by his move to the bullpen, you know, you can look back at Garrett Crochet, you can look back at Chris Sale, you can look back at even the first year Mark Burley pitched, I believe in 2000. Yep. He came up and I think he was a reliever in 19 of the 20 games or 20 of the 21 games he pitched in. So you can make that change. With that said, they set out a plan, and Brian Bannister, I believe, talked to this in spring training about, you know, they kind of worked this out where, you know, he had battled a lat injury. He had come, he was drafted when he had Tommy John. So the main thing, and the main thing for any of their prospects, is keep the guy healthy. But they also knew what kind of electric talent he had, what kind of just presence he had on the mound. And you could see that in the Cactus League. I don't put a whole heck of a lot of value in Cactus League numbers, but you watched him in that game against the Dodgers where he struck out six in two innings. You watched him hit 102 on his first pitch or one of his first pitches in surprise. And you're like, man, this kid's got it. You know, you could, I mean, if things work out, this kid really has it. And I think they told him, much like Sale when he got drafted, where, you know, they told him, you get in here and, you know, you could be up here, and Sale was up in 2 months after he was drafted. I think they told him, if you follow this plan, it's a quicker path this year to the majors. And I talked to Grant at the end of spring training about that, and he said, no, I envision myself as a starter, but I want to do whatever I can. The goal is to get to the majors. And he did it, to his credit, he did everything and then some, you know, especially when they switched him to the bullpen. I don't believe he allowed a run as a reliever. He still hasn't allowed a run as a reliever. But, yeah, it's a pretty cool announcement. And, you know, I don't think baseball would allow it, but he should have just kind of dropped the ball and left the mound after that 101.5 mile-an-hour pitch, right? That's the ultimate mic drop right there. But, yeah, I think he could have great value as a reliever. And, you know, you have to build. You've seen championship teams. You have to build bullpens, too. I'm not saying you have to have Mariano Rivera as your closer every year to win or that someone of that ilk, but you have to build a bullpen so he could be, you know, in that mold. But I do think, you know, that's where he is right now, and I think he's going to excel in this position.
Well, now that the Pope has appeared in a White Sox hat, I now fully expect Grant Taylor to come up with an immaculate inning.
Well, you know, I asked Grant Taylor, I talked to him again yesterday for some other stuff, and I asked him about that, and he said, I said to him, do you think the Pope watched your debut on Tuesday night? And he said, you know, I was joking with that with my parent, with my family at breakfast today, that I wonder if he knows who I am. I wonder if they watch it. Same with Will Venable. I mean, I wonder if he subscribes to my newsletter. You know, I got to find that out. I would love to. I have a vacation coming up in August, and he's welcome to fill in for me on the newsletter if he wants to, if he's a regular reader.
I laughed at your stuff with Venable. He was very funny with that. I said the same thing to Ozzy. I'm like, listen, he was at the World Series. He knows you. Like, yeah, that's extraordinary to me. He definitely knows Ozzy. But,
oh, he's got to.
Oh, I mean, no, everyone knows Ozzy. Yeah, everyone. Yeah, no shadow of a doubt. But tell us about that.
I mean, that was the World Series championship, you know?
Right,
I mean,
he was there. They found him in both games, right? One and two. Come
on. So he absolutely knows him, 100%. You have to think that.
And what did Venable say?
Venable just said, you know, the same kind of thing. He said, you know, it's great to have, he read about it. He said, it's great to have him support. And then he kind of threw in, which you could hear on the transcription, maybe not live, where last thing he said was, need it. You know, we need it, that kind of thing. So it was kind of cool. And, you know, I asked him if he thought he knew who he was. And he said, well, you know, if he's a fan, maybe he pays attention to who the manager is. But again, he just stressed that it's great to have his support. And I guess they're, in kind of a celebration of him Saturday at at Wright Field, right, on top of everything else.
It'll be a huge weekend. And it's been an interesting week as we've been talking about, Merck, because the White Sox are playing just better baseball. And I wonder where this is headed for a guy like Tim Elko, who came back, and he is boom or bust. But I do wonder, he's at that kind of tweener stage where he's 26 years old, but he's still kind of a prospect because he's not been proven yet. Does he fit into the category of the other guys? Because you bring up Teal, you figure he's here to stay. You know the other guys are. How do you feel about Elko being here, and what does his future hold?
It makes me sad that 26 put you as a tweener. I have no idea what I'm at this point. I vaguely remember when I was 26. Not real well. Yeah, I think you summed it up well. I think, first of all, Tim, another thing that, you know, I found when going to Charlotte to cover them and just talking to people is really well-respected across the board as a teammate, as a supporter on the team. So I think, you know, that helps a little bit. But I think, yeah, like you said, he's a big hitter. I think he cut down the strikeouts a little bit at Charlotte, which kind of helped him earn the promotion, besides the fact that he was hitting everything down there. It's the same thing with Kyle Teal. I think Kyle Teal, you know, not in the swing and miss, but Kyle Teal was envisioned to stay longer in Charlotte, kind of work more on the catching aspect. And then nothing against him, but just to give him more experience with Taro in the majors. And he earned his way up, right? He hit everything and did well behind the plate, too. So they, you know, they felt like it was time to promote him. I think Elko's going to have a chance to prove himself the rest of the year, you know, or at least for a little while longer. He had a rough game last night. I think he struck out three times at four at bat, but that's going to happen. You know, I don't think it's so much the swing and miss. I think it's more what you do when you make contact, right? And, I mean, we've seen a lot of I mean, Chris Bryant, the year he won the MVP, I think had a decent amount of swing and miss that year. Mike Trout's had some swing and miss over his career. You know, not everyone is going to be Barry Bonds or anything like that. So I think it's what he does. He's a good defensive first baseman, and I think he'll get some opportunity. And I think he's going to have games last night, but I think he's going to have games where he hits a couple home runs too. So he'll kind of show them where he kind of fits moving forward.
Who's next? Who's the next young player they're bringing up? I know there are, what, seven draft picks that are in, right. Well, traded for whatever, prospects that are in the lineup right now, rookies. Who's comes next? Is it Montgomery? Is he done enough? Has he improved enough?
Colson, I know, not Braden.
Oh, I mean, Braden ahead of him.
I would say, you know, Colson is, I don't know if he's next, but I would say on the list, Colson is one that they really, I think, would be disappointed if he didn't get to the majors this year. I think they want to, you know, I mean, you got to earn it. And he's played much better since he, or he's had better results, I should say, since he went to Arizona for that respite and that kind of reset. And, you know, I think he had an unfortunate situation where he got hit with a pitch in the wrist and he just came back in the lineup last night. So, you know, give him a few games to get going again. But I think he'll be there. I think Brian Ramos is a guy who was up last year. You might see him come up as a reliever named Wickelman Gonzalez, who was another piece of that Garrett Crochet trade, who I think you could see up this year. But I think the bulk are up, but there's still, you know, three or four players, four or five maybe, who could get up there. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see what they decide with Andrew Vaughn, too, whether, you know, he comes back up or has he – you know, run his time with Chicago. So we'll see what happens there. But in terms of the pure prospects, I think it would be guys like Montgomery, Brian Ramos, Wickelman Gonzalez. I'm sure I'm forgetting someone in there, but that's the, you know, the main group that I'm thinking of.
Mark, do the White Sox consider their infield of the future, Vargas at third, Montgomery at short, Mydroth at second, and Elko at first?
Yeah, I think to be determined. You know, I know Colson steadfastly believes he's a shortstop, and he reinforced that to me even when he played, you know, I think 7 of 8 games in the Arizona Fall League at third base, because of the kind of the roster machinations with Arizona Fall League. There are some who believe he might be better suited at third base. Vargas, also a very good first baseman, so can move over there. So I think, you know, Chris and Jin Wong and Josh Barfield and Gene Watson and the whole front office there, Paul Yanish, they have their board. They have things mapped out, but I think the board has movable pieces on it. You know, I've never seen the board live, but I'm sure it has things where you can move it around where if you say, okay, we have him here, but then, you know, 6 months from now or a year from now, you say, you know what, this might be a better fit. So I think that's a plausible suggestion, but I think it can move around still too.
I'm curious, Mark, when you think about all those young pitchers that they once had, I mean, a lot of them had surgery. It seems like, what was it, 7 guys in spring training? How far behind, or, I mean, who knew that Shane Smith would be what he is? But I'm just curious, you know, whatever happened to the Nestrinis and the Ariarty, all those guys?
Yeah, Ariarty is now a reliever, and he was another one who joined Colson in Arizona for kind of a, you know, I don't know what you want to call it, a refresher, and he's back pitching, you know, a couple decent outings out of the bullpen for Charlotte. So I guess he's one, since he was up already, who possibly could come back at the end of this year and see what he looks like out of the bullpen. Nestrini struggled. You know, story out of spring training a couple springs ago, and had a couple decent starts for the Sox. He has struggled in kind of both roles, and that'll happen. I think, you know, it seems like it's, you know, pitch location that's kind of hurting him right now. But you don't hear a lot mentioned about him right now. But yeah, I think because there's just other guys who have moved past. So, you know, you never know when another player is gonna jump up. They do have a deeper system, but you know, these are the guys they're kind of focused on right now. And yeah, I mean, the guys who had Tommy John are gonna have a recovery period, but. You know, not to play down Tommy John, but it is a surgery that, you know, is done all the time. You know, I mean, the Sox, not to make light of it, but kind of gave a bulk rate with all the guys they had, right, in the offseason. in spring training, which is too bad, obviously. But what I'm saying is I think they can come back. You know, some guys come back a little bit slower, but I think they can come back and contribute. And by the time they do come back, it could be the time where the Sox envision, you know, for sure the second half of next year, envision themselves as more of a, you know, competitive, contending team.
Great stuff, Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
That is Scott Merkin. MLB.com does a great job.
White Sox tonight, Davis Martin against Framber Valdez. That's going to be a tough one to win the series.
I'm a big fan of Davis Martin.
Down in Houston. Yeah. Cubs back home tonight. Can't wait for that one. Andrew Haney's on the mound, lefty. We should talk about when we come back. Does that mean Michael Busch sits?
312-644-6767. I hope not. Mully and Haw on the score.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
Four.
Fly ball to right, pretty well hit. Back goes Tucker, and Kyle Tucker drops the ball. It's going to be a double for Trey Turner, advancing to third on the play, Otto Kemp. Tucker went back, got a glove on the ball, but juggled it, and as he reached the wall, when he collided with the barrier, that might have been what jarred the ball loose. Nope, he never really did have it as I watch it again.
Yeah, it looks like he reaches up on a dead run going towards the wall, reaches up, and the ball hits in like that pinky part of the glove, right at the top of the glove. Never did really have a handle on it at all, and it will end up being a double.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 the score. Kyle Tucker back home in Chicago.
Yeah, welcome back.
Welcome back. Dustin despises that play.
I don't think Dustin will be greeting him at Wrigley or O'Hare when they landed.
Well, he's here.
So. I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't speak for him, and I shouldn't really jump to that conclusion.
Well, no, he's forgiven everyone.
He likes
everyone.
Kyle Tucker, but he did point out that he did drop the ball.
And he is forgiven all anything that went wrong yesterday because it's all about the new feel-good Cubs fan.
PCA got a day off. the Cardinals lost, the Brewers lost, the Cubs lost, so nothing changed in the standings.
Deep breath, move on.
Look at you.
You have to do that sometime. It's 162. It's probably better for your health, but yeah. I live these Cubs games like a Bears game.
I'm proud of you, man. You're 14, growing up right in front of our
14
eyes.
Games over is a pretty good place to be as you welcome the Pirates for four. And Andrew Haney being on the mound this afternoon should mean that...
Haney pretty bad against left-handed hitters.
Well, I think just he's saying, struggling against a lot of people this year. He's not having.
This is the situation. I think Bruce, you got to go out and beat the other team's third, fourth, and fifth guy. And this is probably their fifth guy because tomorrow, which is Friday, they get their number one and maybe the number one in baseball in Skeens. Paul Skeens. So you got to go get their fifth guy tonight.
You're coming around to where I'm thinking about Paul Skeens. Like, he's phenomenal.
He's really good.
Okay, good. Just want to make sure that.
I trade for him.
He is a man.
I know. So today you might not see Michael Bush. Maybe you will, but you know what? I need to point this out. Our guy Justin Turner, in 19 career at bats, he's got more bats against Haney than anybody in the Cubs lineup.
Oh, boy.
He's got a 912 OPS.
The bigger upset, David, based on what you just said, would be the fact that if he didn't play tonight.
If Justin Turner doesn't play.
Because of the number. They are dedicated to the numbers.
So I think that in 19 career at bats, he's got a 912 OPS. He has hit two home runs off of Haney. So but I think it, that probably it, puts it, him in a lineup.
Haney probably doesn't see this order three times. So at that point, assuming that they go righty in the bullpen, then immediately,
yeah.
Michael Bush has his glove. He's got his cleats. If he tapes his ankles, the ankles are taped. This is not an off day.
I'm warning you ahead of time. Justin Turner, 19 at bats, two home runs against Haney. He's likely to be in the lineup tonight if they follow those numbers.
David, based on those numbers, I might bat him fifth.
You know, listen,
seriously.
Okay.
Those numbers happened when the guy was like in his late 20s.
He's not.
Maybe his early 30s.
Okay.
What year is it?
He got a hit last. Listen, the Cubs. He was one. The Cubs didn't have a whole lot of offense yesterday.
Don't shoot the messenger. I'm just transmitting the information. Don't shoot the messenger.
Who's shooting the messenger?
Do you get that because of that card you have? You get that special information?
The card it gives you special information.
He has that messenger card?
No, that BBWA card.
Speaking of information,
everywhere for free.
I asked a question earlier in the show I should probably answer.
Please.
So finally. I said, almost facetiously, because the White Sox struggled against the Astros, gave up 10 runs, and Paredes had three hits against the Sox. And yes, I wondered out loud, who's having a better year, Isaac Paredes or Kyle Tucker?
You asked that question.
I did. All right, here's the answer. It's close. It's much closer than maybe you thought it would be on June 12th. Kyle Tucker right now, his WAR is 2.8. He's got 13 home runs, 43 runs batted in, hitting .274 batting average, OPS 895. Isaac Paredes, 2.1 WAR, slightly below, but 2.1 is pretty good for a third baseman.
A lot better than he was here.
Exactly, Mully. That's the point. 14 home runs, 41 runs batted in, so one more homer, two fewer RBI, .254 batting average, .818 OPS. So better than you expected. Still not Kyle Tucker, probably category. And certainly, I think reasonable baseball people would consider Kyle Tucker still a top 10 player in the game. But the numbers are closer than you might imagine.
It was interesting on the broadcast to hear the idea that, oh, that ballpark suits him so much better. Look how he's hitting in that ballpark. A lot of room in that ballpark.
But didn't they say that about Wrigley?
No, they said Wrigley was...
It was the opposite?
Exactly, the opposite.
Right. Yeah.
He did not fit the ballpark because he's a pull guy.
And that was the excuse. I remember that now. Yeah. That was was an excuse or was it reality? I think last year the weather, as we learned, played against a lot of guys. It wasn't a good season for a lot of guys because of the weather or
there was a sign somewhere or like a heavy set dude that was sitting in the wind
on cue
all the wind
7-0-8. Paredes is a pull hitter, so that short porch in left field helps a lot.
There you go. See,
it's Isak Paredes. Yes, Isak Paredes. He's having a good year for the Houston Astros.
And
so is Cam Smith.
So is Cam Smith. How is Wisniewski hurt?
He had to have surgery. That's too bad for him.
That's pretty Wisniewski.
So Cubs are back at it tonight. I think that they can win 3 out of 4 against the Pirates. I don't know which one they lose, but it might be tomorrow.
You start with Friday.
Yeah. Right?
You start with Friday.
So although the Pirates have lost
Friday
games,
and Dustin, Saturday, you're not allowed. Yeah, you're not allowed to lose both, or I can't go back for another 3 years.
You're going out there on a Friday for work, and you're planning on losing.
I'm just saying on paper. Yeah, can you imagine me doing that post game show for a loss?
Oh my god!
Oh my gosh! I would tune in just for that. I'm going to be ready for. That's not even. I don't want
to go back to the days where you take phone calls
on the post game show.
Yeah,
that would be something. No, I don't think you'd want to do that.
I would like to do that.
You'll be channeling your inner Grody.
Maybe I can get some tips from Grody.
Grody has advice for everybody. Speaking of Mark Grody, thank you for the segue.
Yeah, I'm here.
Mark Grody today, 2 to 6 with Rami Makhlouf and special guest Bill Wennington from 4 to 6 p.m. They'll be at the Lynx Golf and Sports Bar, 2116 East Grand Avenue in Lindenhurst. Brought to you by Circus Sports Illinois, a live broadcast. Yes, they're in for Spiegel and Holmes. And while you're on site, download and find the Circus Sports Illinois app to receive a matchback incentive up to $500 directly into your account. And take your swing at $5,000 with a hole-in-one contest from the Lynx.
And I am awful happy that you have brought that up, because that reminds us that there is a golf tournament going on right now, and we had vowed to ask Mr. David this morning, which foreign-born golfer have you chosen to win America's tournament?
Now, that's really unfair.
That was Dustin's question.
I know, but I have
a little background why I said that, because you picked the Oilers.
Whiteboard it for me.
You picked the Oilers. No, not for you. For the listener that might just be turning in.
Well, I still think it's ridiculous to think that I'm anti-American because I picked the Oilers to win the Stanley Cup.
Well, we know you are anti-golf and you're anti-horse racing. You're almost anti-hot dog.
I'm not anti-any of those things.
Hot dogs in America, too. Really, you're more into the rhubarb strawberry pie from Wildfire than you are into apple pie, also very American.
Oh, wow. Look at this. You are.
Even though that pie is red, so that helps.
He doesn't drive a Chevrolet either.
No, I don't. I don't drive a Chevy, but I do drive an American-made car, okay? My Honda CR-V was made here.
His gun rack is not. It's not a foreign car.
I don't have
a
gun rack.
Oh, wait a minute.
Don't start that stuff.
I thought you were American.
And come on, because the strawberry rhubarb pie from Wildfire was one of the best I've ever had, doesn't mean that I'm anti-apple pie either. I'm not anti-anything. I just...
hot dogs. Oh, excuse me.
Maybe hot dogs. I'm not a big hot dog guy.
You smother your hot dog. I picked the Oilers
because of Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. And I picked for the U.S. Open, without even looking at the leaderboard, Keegan Bradley because he wears flag and anthem.
Look at you.
But he's very American.
He took U.S. of A. He took OKC because he loves Shea Gilgeous-Alexander as well.
I did not. You think I'd pick against the Pacers?
I think you picked against America.
Oh, you know what?
I picked OKC
because of SGA, but I'm rooting for the Pacers because
you might not be able to go back home if you don't.
Well,
Indiana boy.
Yeah, and there's OKC and SGA, but this is Indiana. I want one of those t-shirts.
I was just going to say, can we get one of those shirts?
I want one of those t-shirts.
David, he will wear it proudly.
I would definitely wear it. I'm going to be in Indianapolis over the weekend, so maybe I can pick one up. Yeah.
Are you going to the game?
No. That's Friday night. The game's Friday night.
Is Caitlin Clark making a comeback?
You know, it's interesting. She was there. And when is she going to play again? The WNBA needs to know.
I believe this weekend. She's very close to returning.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Not a moment too soon.
They need her pretty desperately. Their ratings, the Indiana Fever ratings, are halved with her art. No one, make sure that Angel Reese isn't listening. But the WNBA ratings, generally speaking, have been halved without her playing. So apparently, a lot of people are watching the WNBA for Caitlin Clark.
According to Nielsen, the league's TV ratings have declined 55% since Caitlin Clark has been sidelined.
What?
Fever games are down 53%.
Hey, hold on.
So we went from...
people have stopped watching...
1.8 million viewers on average before her injury and 847,000 since her injury for Fever games on national television. So nationally televised Caitlin Clark and Fever games have been halved. essentially, yeah. More than that.
David, I think, if I'm not mistaken, that the Pacers' ratings went up because she was there watching.
I think so.
People want to watch her watch.
It was like Taylor Swift at an NFL game. The cutaways, what you were there for. A lot of people just watched for the cutaways.
So Friday night, we're going to have to see if there's a market for how many times they show Caitlin Clark on TV. You know,
could be.
Over under 2.5.
Could be.
Oh, definitely. It'd be over.
If you are Adam Silver, you're having a conversation with somebody at ABC or ESPN, and you're saying, we need more Caitlin Clark. Less Pat McAfee, more Caitlin Clark.
And maybe they could get her on the broadcast. Sorry.
If you're a WNBA owner, who you having a conversation with, it's hard to cut a CBA if it's a one-player league. And I don't mean that as an insult. I mean, these numbers are staggering. She really is the most important player in that league.
There's no question about it.
Don't tell the Olympic team.
Yeah, though. You know what? That seems more absurd by the day when you point that out. And anybody who suggests that, that it's not the growth of the sport and the attraction overall of the WNBA isn't related to her ascension as a superstar.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. No.
Let's be real here.
Well, the numbers are the numbers.
I hope she comes back this weekend, though. So she's expected back, Dustin says.
I did hear that she's very close to returning.
Oh, that's good.
All right.
Make sure you don't
report that. Soon is Saturday, what I heard.
But don't report that Friday unless it's true.
Saturday, do they play the Fever play in Indy?
I think they do play in Indy. I think they play the Liberty, too, on top of that.
Hmm. Maybe you'll... No, I can't do both. I can't go to that game.
Give me Liberty or give me...
Are you going you going to have shrimp and sauce?
No, I'm not going to St. Elmo's. Nope, not doing that.
Wow, look at you.
So good.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Even though you can't get the sauce now at Costco.
Steak and Shake?
Steak and Shake would be fine with me.
So the Fever at home on Saturday afternoon. It's a 2 o'clock tip against the New York team. I think
that's
they're right.
Really
the New York's 9-0 or 10-0 now.
Yeah, they're one of two teams that are that have not lost.
Imagine the weekend in Indy for basketball fans in the state that adores the sport. You have the Pacers could win tomorrow night against OKC, and Caitlin Clark's return on Saturday.
Hmm. Sounds like a plan.
It does sound like a plan.
Sounds like a good weekend to go to Indy.
And get some St. Elmo's.
Maybe. Let's see.
That's so
all right.
Funny.
We got
all
to
right.
take
yes.
a break.
I believe we have
Marshall and Layla.
Layla and Marshall here, and we'll get a chance to talk to them next. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.